Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to, I think this is the fourth episode of From the Lions Cove podcast. I'm your host, Marcelo. Today, we have a very special guest, my man, Antonio Mangaluzzi.
How are you guys?
So, I've known Mango since probably, like, before kindergarten. All the way back, we played flag football together, and, yeah, now we're here. Friends, still in college, so, yeah, it's truly a blessing, and I'm very excited to have you on the show today.
Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, so first, let's start off with the proper introduction. So my friend, his name's Antonio, but we call him Mango. So Mango, he's played football for Mayfield for, I think, probably, what, all 12 years?
So I played CYO football from at St. Pascal's, 4th grade through 7th grade, and then back to Mayfield, 8th through 12th.
Yeah, so longtime football player at Mayfield High School, eventually played a year at Otterbein, transferred to JCU, and then now he's at CSU, where he is majoring in,
Special education.
Special ed. So, so pretty impressive right there. Great friend, and yeah, I'm really excited to get into these questions.
Me too, yeah.
Awesome. All right, so what initially got you into football, and when did you realize that you had a passion for it?
So, I got into football at a young age, I'd say like 3 years old. My uncle was a football coach at St. Ed's, and he just bring me on the sideline, like being water boy, like hearing Coach Finati, who coached at John Carroll, actually, hearing his like pregame speeches. Like, I don't remember specifically what was said because I was so young, like I was 3, 4, 5 years old, but I just remember like how I felt, and I felt like I wanted to run through a brick wall. Like, I was ready to go out there and put the pads on myself at 5 years old, playing for a top team in the state of Ohio. And,
yeah.
I mean, that was just a big part. Being around football at such a young age, that's what kind of put me into it. And I really felt and, like, noticed my passion for it. I'd say probably when I started playing tackle football in fourth grade at St. Pascal's, always wanting to do more, get better at my craft, and I just always loved like the little things about football. Like, I played center, and if like if my snap didn't get to the quarterback, then the play couldn't happen. And then like if I snap the ball good but I don't block good, then the play can't happen either. So it's like little things like that really like pushed me to be better and drove my passion for football.
Yeah. So who is your biggest influence growing up? And like both in football and also in life as well.
So both my parents, obviously, like big part of my life growing up. My dad and my mom both at every sporting event, whether that been football, wrestling, basketball when I was younger too. I played soccer when I was really really young. Just those two being, and my grandparents, all of those people, just being at every sporting event, every donuts with dad, every muffins with mom, every all that stuff, like just little things like that, like really made me want to push harder and just make them proud every single day, like whether that be in the classroom, as a son, as a grandson, a football player, just in general. And then in football, I'd say like when I was really really young, I would like to watch a lot of college football, and that like some of the college football players, like, might be cliche, but like the Tavon Austin highlights when I was younger. Like, I'd watch that, or like Ray Lewis highlights when I was like in middle school, and I was like, this is so sick. Like, I want to go hit someone like that. But then, like, when I got older, like, a lot of my high school coaches, I like really appreciated, like, time they took out, like Coach Larry Pino, he's still actually the head offensive line coach at Mayfield High School.
Okay.
He really like kind of like took me under his wing my junior year because I was the only underclassman starting
wow.
on the varsity O-line my junior year. Everyone else was seniors. So he kind of like – I'd ask a lot of questions, and he'd probably say that they're dumb questions and rhetorical questions. Like, in my favorite, you already know the answer. Why are you asking?
Yeah.
It's just like I was a young buck on the line. I just wanted to make sure I was right at all times. But then, like, just hearing him talk about me at the end of the season banquets, like, talking about, like, my – never missing a snap, a shotgun snap my junior year, and like wow. just things like that, being the leader of the O-line and stuff, like making the calls at center. You got to call out a bunch of different stuff, fronts, blitz, all that stuff. I mean, he really was probably the most influential person in my life through football, through high school.
Yeah, I mean, too. I mean, kind of going back to, like, the questions thing. I mean, listen, like, even, like, me, I always ask, like, you know, dumb questions. But, I mean, listen, the dumb questions can sometimes be, like, the best because, you know, then you know the answer. Like, because, you know, at times you might go back and forth on if it's right or wrong. But, I mean, hey, then you get a specific answer. And then also, too, even if you're just, like, asking questions, coaches love that. You know, even in, like, the business world, even that's in school, you know, people really appreciate questions.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
So you kind of mentioned that you played for St. Pascal mm-hmm. for how long? You said 2 years?
Fourth grade through seventh grade.
Wow. Yeah. So what was that experience like playing for like a church league and then transitioning back into, you know, kind of like public school?
Yeah, so I didn't play youth football at Mayfield because they always had a weight limit.
Yeah, so yeah, it's true.
I've always been a bigger kid. So, and CYO – there's no weight limit to play. You just get a dot on your helmet, meaning you can't touch the ball like outside of snapping the football.
Wow.
Like you can't carry the ball or throw the ball or catch the ball, but you still get to play football.
Yeah.
And that's really all I wanted to do growing up was play tackle football.
Right.
And then fourth grade was the first year they had a league. Like that was the beginning league of tackle football in CYO. So that's when I went over there. I played flag football in Mayfield my whole life, like growing up, like before fourth grade. Play with you, obviously,
yeah.
like I said before. But, I mean, my experiences there, I've gained a lot of close friends from those three, four years that I played there. Kids from, like, that went to high school at Gilmore and St. Ignatius, St. Ed's, like, a bunch of schools around, somewhat around the area. I got a lot of friendships and lifelong friends from that, that experience in CYO. And then the transition, so Mayfield Middle School, they have a 7th grade and an 8th grade football team. So
right.
I could have went and played because there was no weight limit in middle school. I could have went in 7th grade to play for Mayfield.
Yeah.
But we had a really tight-knit group. We were very, very good
yeah.
that year. We were going to be very good that year. So stayed at St. Pascal's, kind of realized, like, hey, like talking to my buddies from the 7th grade team that year, hey, we run the same offense in the middle school that the varsity team runs. So
yeah.
And that kind of, like, clicked with me, like, hey, I should probably go to Mayfield Middle School, play football next year. Start learning the offense, defense, stuff like that, like signals, play calls, like assignments. So I'm just better set up for my high school career.
Yeah, so obviously our good friend Mike Huss, mm-hmm. he kind of talked about, you know, possibly going to, like, Gilmore or St. Ignatius.
Yeah.
Were you kind of thinking that route too, or were you just more so, hey, like I'm staying at Mayfield, like all like my friends are here?
I was always pretty much set on going to Mayfield. Like my uncle was coaching at Ed's for a little bit still, like, and I just wanted to stay with my brothers. Like,
yeah.
I had like my uncle like mentioned it, but I never had like any serious thought about going there. I always just wanted to stay with my brothers, play football and wrestle with the dudes I grew up with, and man, I think I made a pretty good decision. So
yeah, for sure. So obviously, you played at Mayfield from the 9th grade to senior year. So throughout your time, were there any specific moments or games that really defined your career?
Yeah. So my junior year, like I said, I was the only non-senior starting on the O-line. We actually went 10-0 my junior year. And that's something I'll never forget in my life. Like seeing the whole community on the field all at one time. There's
yeah.
pictures of like all of us in our huddle, and then everyone from the community on Kenston's field after, like surrounding us. and like getting that, seeing the clock hits triple zeros, and then seeing all your friends hop the fence, even though the administration's telling them not to, just coming up and hugging you and high fiving you and like, let's go, congrats, this and that. Like that was one of the, that was the biggest moment, I think, like that really set something like in my life from football.
Yeah.
And then also we played Riverside the same year. We beat them in overtime. Wow. Shout out Billy Guzzo for the blocked field goal at the end of regulation. We beat them in overtime, and just seeing like the team sprint onto the field and dog pile, and I mean that was a special moment too.
Yeah. So throughout your time, did you go against any like specific players that, you know, were kind of like standout players, like, you know, D1, Big Ten schools, like any high like level like recruits?
Yeah, so we played a lot of pretty good schools like my junior and senior year. Nordonia, their D tackle, he was their nose guard, so the nose guards lined up head up on the center like every play. He was going to Toledo.
Wow.
He was pretty solid. He was going for offensive line, but I mean, high school, you're going both ways playing offensive, defensive line. Yeah. To Toledo, you're a pretty good athlete.
Right.
That kid was pretty solid. He was like 6'9", 320, so that was a tough game. Tough kid to block.
Yeah.
We played Hoban all 4 years of high school. My junior year, they had a DN going to Wisconsin. He plays there now, Daryl Peterson, number 17 there. He's been starting there for, I think this is his second year starting there.
Wow.
My senior year, we played Chardon. They had a DN. He's at Iowa State now. His name's Miles Medenzoon.
Okay.
He just had a blocked punt, actually, for the Iowa State this past weekend.
Really?
Touchdown, yeah. Wow. That's pretty cool. Had to shoot him a text.
Yeah.
It's just like, and Hoban, too. They had a Devin Hightower. He, linebacker, went to Michigan State.
Jeez.
So, I mean, yeah, played a lot of good top-level talent in high school. So, yeah. I mean, it was always competitive. And sometimes it wasn't fun. Sometimes it was like, okay, like, I'm hanging with these dudes going to the Big Ten. Like,
yeah,
I can do this. So, I
mean, wow.
Yeah.
So, at the end of your senior year, you know, what was the recruitment process like for you, and why did you choose Otterbein?
So, our senior year was COVID, obviously.
Yeah,
so
it's tough.
The recruiting process was nothing, probably like anyone in the grades before that. Like, well, maybe the 2019 or 2020 class.
Yeah.
Because they got the end of it. But, like, 2019 and before, the recruiting process was probably way more fun, way more different. Because with us, we couldn't do any, like, overnight visits. Like, you were kind of going in blind to everything. You couldn't, like, you could barely visit campuses. Some campuses wouldn't let you come on campus.
Yeah.
Some campuses would let you, like, take a self-guide, like, invite you. Like, they'd, like, stand away, wave to you, speak to through a megaphone to you and talk to you. And then be, like, they'd give you, like, they'd message you directions on a map to, like, self-guide yourself through.
That's insane.
Some colleges were less strict than others. They would take us on golf carts. Like me and Mike Huss, we went to Mount Union on a visit. And they took me and Mike around on a golf cart all day. And that was pretty cool. But I eventually chose Otterbein because I saw a great opportunity there.
Yeah.
They were recently down for the past couple of years before I committed there. And the location, I mean, location was exactly where I wanted. I mean, I had a bunch of friends going to Ohio State, like just going there for school. It's a 15-minute drive to Ohio State. I had a bunch of friends, like one friend went to Denison, which is like only 35 minutes. I had another friend that went to Capital that's only 10 minutes. So, like, if you got homesick, you could go see somebody 30, 10, 15 minutes away to see a familiar face.
Yeah.
So, like, that was a part of it, like being able to, like, have the opportunity to go see somebody familiar, so it's not like a brand new setting.
Right.
But it's in a different location and setting to where it was very fun and like different. So that was kind of like the main reason that I went there.
Yeah. And I mean, kind of going back to like that whole like process, like I was kind of talking about in a previous podcast, like during COVID, like you had to go through, like I know I went through that, like an online like visit. Mm-hmm. Where they had like someone like show me pictures and like videos and like it was all virtual, like it was just a different time back then.
Right. Yeah. And it was like I think a lot of the key factors of recruiting are like seeing if you fit in with a team.
Yeah.
And like fit in like with the players that are already on the team.
Yeah.
So like a lot of the kids that I have seen like before me or like a couple years after me, they're saying like, oh, I'm like, why'd you choose that school? They're like, oh, because of the overnight visit. Like,
yeah.
I click with the team. Like, I got to talk to the coaches and more in depth. Like, that was a big thing. Like, probably, I don't know if I would have not committed to Otterbein if I had an overnight visit because I enjoyed my time there. Like, I have a lot of friends I still talk to this day from Otterbein. But, yeah, I mean, I saw myself being there. So one thing my mom told me was, if you somehow get a career-ending injury, do you see yourself still being at that school? And I saw myself being at that school. You have a big college that has good football at Ohio State.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
15 minutes away.
Yeah.
I have friends. I had a friend at Capital 10 minutes away. I had another friend 30 minutes away. It was just kind of like an ideal setting. And then we had two girls from West G, these twins that I knew previous. They committed there for soccer.
Okay.
So, I mean, there was just another familiar faces at the same school too. And it was kind of like glorified high school.
Yeah.
It's so small, like being a D3 school.
Yeah.
Like you could go hang out with the same 10 people every weekend and not get bored.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's almost like John Carroll, too. It's kind of just like, you know, like almost like a glorified high school, but there's also so many kids at times that, like, you don't really know certain people. Right. So you have your group, but at the same time, there's also so many new people that you can meet, too.
Exactly.
But so obviously, you started your journey at Otterbein. And what was the biggest difference between high school and college football for you?
Honestly, I think just like the time commitment, like between summer camp.
Yeah.
So, at Otterbein, we got there like two and a half, three weeks before anyone else on campus got there. And that, like a daily schedule for that was like 6:30 wake up, 7:15 breakfast.
Yeah.
7:30 lift, 9 o'clock, meeting, 10:30 walkthrough. 11:30 or 11:15, lunch. 11:30, you go to another practice, and it's just like it keeps rotating somewhat of that like format until like 7, 8 o'clock at night. So that was like a big difference for me. But kind of in high school, I kind of did the same thing. It was like I always wanted to go work out. I always wanted to go have lunch or breakfast or dinner with my boys.
Yeah.
I always wanted to watch film. I always wanted to take notes on certain things and stuff like that. It just was a little bit more. So I don't think it was horribly different, but it was definitely more like time consuming, like with a coach, like outside of high school where you're only with coaches for in the summer, like 6 hours a day, maybe. That was like 13, 14 hours sometimes.
Yeah, and then I'm sure with those D3 programs, I'm sure there's also, like, a lot of kids, like, on, like, the team as well, right?
Yeah, so D3, you don't get, like, scholarships, like D1 and D2, that they only get a certain amount of scholarships. They give you a roster spot.
Yeah.
And they can give out as many as they want.
Wow.
It just determines on if you're going to play.
Yeah.
So my recruiting class going into Otterbein, I think we had like 57 kids, maybe a little less than that, somewhere around there, 50 to 60 range, I would have to say. So there's a lot of like different backgrounds coming. So you had like kids from like Alabama, California. Jeez. We had a kid on our team. He was a backup quarterback from Germany.
Wow.
So, I mean, there was a lot of different backgrounds, cultural backgrounds that you got to see and, like, experience. But it was good because it was, like, a change of pace from high school where, like, you already knew everything about everyone for the most part.
Yeah.
Like, at least you're, like, people you see every day. These dudes I saw every day, and I barely knew anything about them until about a couple weeks in, and then you start talking. And you could talk to 5, 10 different kids every day and learn something new about them every day.
Wow.
It's just very, very interesting.
Yeah. But, I mean, overall, you would say, like, your experience there was awesome, right?
Yeah, I would say the experience there was awesome. I mean, life outside of football, I would say was awesome. Football aspect, I mean, we went 1-9 my only year there.
Wow.
And so it was kind of a change of pace from going 11-1 in junior year and 5-2 of my senior year.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a change of pace, and just didn't see the opportunities that were told that I would have gotten.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a disappointment to me as well.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm sure tons of people and a lot of viewers out there have experienced that same thing too. Yeah. But so you later transferred to John Carroll. What kind of influenced that decision? Because obviously, you know, with like the transfer portal nowadays, like, it's huge. You got people transferring everywhere. So what kind of influenced that?
So I was set on coming to Carroll after.
Yeah.
Like, I knew I was leaving Otterbein at some point.
Yeah.
Before the season was over, and in my head, I was kind of like, I want to leave, but I want to stay.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a toss up for me. It was either I was going to stay there or come to Carroll. There was nothing else for me. Like,
wow. Okay.
Like, I didn't want to go anywhere else but Otterbein or Carroll.
Wow.
So a couple schools talked to me about coming to their school, and I respectfully declined it because I knew my mind was set on either Otterbein or Carroll, one of the two, nothing else. Big influence was, like I mentioned earlier, Coach Finati was the head coach here when I transferred in. But unfortunately, a couple weeks after, or a couple months after I transferred in, he stepped down as the coach here.
Wow.
So that was pretty much the main reason I came here in the first place for football, was to play for Coach Finati, because growing up, hearing his pregame speeches, seeing how he coaches a football team at St. Ed's was a big part of why I played football, like I said earlier. So.
Yeah.
Being able to play for him in college, that's kind of why I came here, to and for, like, good education as well. John Carroll is very known for their education.
Right.
The only thing, I had to change my major when I got here because Carroll doesn't offer special education.
Wow.
So that was kind of an impact on me now, but back then I was okay with it.
Yeah. So – I've asked all of my interviewees this question. So throughout your time in college and in high school, did you have any specific pregame routines, or any artists that you would play before games?
Yeah, so at Mayfield pregame for football, we played Dreams and Nightmares in the locker room.
Yeah, bang.
Yeah, and then once the main verse hits and hold up, wait a minute, and that ends, then we would automatic, and then as soon as that would end, it would switch into the purge.
Wow.
You just get in a place where you kind of don't know what to feel like, because you're so juiced up from hearing Dreams and Nightmares right into the purge. Like, you just want to go out there and hit somebody. But before that pregame routine, by myself, I really listened to rap, rock, metal, just something to get me ready to go hit somebody. Playing O-line, you got to hit someone every play.
So
be ready for war out there, you know?
Yeah. So do you have a go-to song, aside from Dreams and Nightmares? Or?
So now I'm starting to get into more of the hard rock stuff. So, but I would still say my favorite pregame song is Seven Nation Army.
Wow.
Just get you it chills, ready to go.
Yeah. No, awesome. So what challenges did you face as a student athlete, balancing academics and football? Because obviously football, very time consuming, and school as well.
Right. So freshman year was really, really difficult. Freshman year, first semester, finding the balance between college football and being a freshman in college, trying to figure out, like, they're not going to baby you. They're not going to be like, hey, you're missing this assignment. You got to get it in. Hey, your assignment's due this week. Like, you get a syllabus. You have to read it. You have to keep up with it. That was the biggest, like, point of emphasis for me, like, classroom-wise. And just trying to create good habits. Being a student-athlete is honestly what I think is key. Being planning your days out, it really helps, like, maintain a good routine.
Yeah.
That helped me out a lot.
Wow.
I didn't learn that until, like, sophomore year.
Yeah.
Freshman year, so still did pretty good. Probably could have done better if I got into a routine better.
Yeah. I mean, hey, coming into, like, your freshman year, I mean, it's like pretty challenging. Make new friends. You know, on top of that, you have football. And you're just balancing out your schedule, finding out, you know, where your classes are, right, your professors, your kind of group. So, I mean, it's a lot.
Yeah.
But so now Mango is now a coach at Mayfield High School. You've been a coach probably for what, like 3 years, two years?
Yeah, it's my third year coaching.
Wow. So what inspired you to transition from player to coach, and how did that process kind of start?
So my sophomore year the end of my freshman year when I was at Carroll, because I transferred at the halfway point of the semester.
Yeah.
I was training for football and wrestling here. So I was going to workouts for football in the morning and then like 5 days a week, and then wrestling 2 or 3 days out of in the afternoon.
Wow.
So I would go lift, go to class, go to wrestling practice, go home, do it all over again.
Wow.
So trying to find a balance with that, school, and going out and like hanging out with some friends, like still having a social life.
Yeah.
That was really tough. But so I ended up messing my knee up again, like training, doing the dual training.
Wow. Yeah.
So I tore my meniscus for the fourth time, and I was like, I don't really want to do this again, surgery again. So I kind of just let it go, just kind of just slowly stopped. I stopped doing football training first, and then I just kept going to the wrestling stuff and wasn't getting any better. So I was just like, I don't know if I want to keep doing this, but I kept going for another month, and then our head football coach at Mayfield, Ross Bandera, I saw him at a Mayfield baseball game, actually, and he's like, hey, I heard you're not playing football anymore, like, do you want to come coach, like, be a volunteer assistant for the first year? And I was like, yeah, I think that's a good idea, like, I still love football,
right,
but I just physically probably couldn't make it through another year with the knees and ankles and hips and shoulders, a lot of injuries over the years. But, so yeah, Coach Bandera reached out to me, gave me all the stuff. Like, it's like, hey, we start here, come up and help out this year. So first year coaching was pretty fun. It was cool to see the other side of it.
Yeah.
Like watching film as an athlete versus a coach, it's so different. Like you think you know everything, like, oh, this kid's going to do this on this play because I scouted him all week and I know that. And then you go in the game, you're like, he didn't do that much, this much, because now as a coach, like, you see, like, this kid's hands down, or if this hand's down, he's going to slant that way. If this hand's down, he's going to slant that way. If his feet are tighter together, he's going to stunt this way. It's a totally different ball game watching it on the other side.
Wow.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah. So talk about your coaching style. So how did you approach working with players, and who influenced, like, your coaching philosophy?
So my coaching philosophy, I kind of got from Coach Bandera, Coach Pino, who I talked about earlier, and Coach Mahalik. He's our offensive coordinator at Mayfield. And Coach Pino, junior, he's our D-line coach, because I'm the head freshman coach now, and I call the offense. So get a lot of the offensive philosophy from Coach Bandera, Coach Pino, and Coach Mahalik. And then as a freshman coach, you don't really get a lot of I only have 3 assistants, so I'm coaching the offensive and defensive line while calling the plays, while maintaining the whole team. So it's a lot. So Coach Pino Jr., he really helped me with, like, D-line technique, like, telling me a lot of the individual drills he does for kids and stuff. So that really helped with, like, the defensive philosophy. Like, I've always been an offensive guy. Like, I played minimal defense in high school, like, just when they needed me to go in, because we had some pretty good D-linemen when I was there. But, like, offensively – Coach Mahalik, he's very, very smart, and he's got a lot of good schemes that he puts in. And Coach Bandera, we've been running the same offense for a while, and we have little stuff off of it to when teams start picking up tendencies, hey, we're going to do this out of this formation, running the same pre-snap motion, but it's coming back this way with something else. He's very, very smart as well, offensively, scheme-wise. And Coach Pinto, he's taught me everything I know about O-line.
Yeah.
And he's gave me my PhD in linemanology. So, I mean, those four really have helped push my coaching career and, like, philosophies.
Yeah, and also, too, I'm sure, you know, when you started off as kind of like a volunteer, now you're the freshman coach. I mean, I'm sure you just seen, like, the growth and process, like, with your coaching.
Yeah, so last year we had a very – it was my first year calling plays, so I was kind of, like, timid on, like, oh, I don't know, like, what should I do here? And then this year I really – it's really clicked better because, I mean, practice makes perfect, so – I don't want to say last year was like a practice year because we had a very good freshman class last year.
Yeah.
But I feel like I kind of underperformed with them because I was timid. And it was my first year calling plays. But, I mean, this year we're really rocking right now. We're 6-1. We got a big game this week against a rival school. So, I mean, hopefully understanding my play calling's better and just organization on your play sheet. That's, man, that's really been the biggest thing this year. Like, last year I'd put all my plays on, like, a Google Doc and then just read them, and there's no organization. Like, trying to get the signals out there. And it really messed me up a lot trying to find something that I wanted to because I didn't know the exact formation or whatever it was in. Now this year I, like, switched to a Google Sheet, like, spreadsheet.
Yep.
And then highlight stuff. So, that, I mean, that's really helped a lot, like, down a distance, first and long, like second and short, second and medium, second and long, third and short, third and medium, third and long, fourth down, when to go for it. That's another big thing. Clock management, play Madden. I don't coach how I play Madden. I go for it on fourth down every time in Madden. And
you have to.
Don't call timeouts when I probably should in Madden. Yeah. But that's actually helped me too, playing video games my whole life, like, yeah, football games. You understand schemes that are going to work against cover one, cover two, cover three, cover four, cover six, cover nine, a bunch of stuff like that. So, I mean, just little things like that have really changed the way I've coached this year. So, hopefully we got our two biggest rivals these next 2 weeks with Chardonnay Riverside. So, both of them beat us pretty bad last year. So, I want to get them back this year.
Yeah, it's time to get some revenge.
Right.
So, looking back on your football journey, just being a player, coach, what would you say were your biggest lessons?
Biggest lessons really were how to become a man quick.
Yeah.
You get thrown into the fire.
Yeah.
And sometimes a lot of things don't go your way, and yeah, how to fight adversity through it. It's kind of what I teach my kids now, like the ones that I coach. They need to, something doesn't go bad. You have to have an elephant mindset, we call it. And because elephants have this, like, one of the smaller brains, I guess. I just heard the saying from one of our varsity coaches. Yeah. So I kind of took it and ran with it. If you mess up on a play, it's not as bad as it could have been probably. You're still playing football. You're still a kid. You're pretty good, you know?
Yeah.
So next play mentality. You had a really, really bad play. You screwed up really bad. You threw a pick. You fumbled the ball. You snapped it over the quarterback's head. You missed your block. Next play. Come back next play, do better.
That's it.
If you scored a touchdown, you had a pick six, you made a really, really good block, doesn't matter. Next play, come back. You got to do it again.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nothing in football or life is consistent. You never know what's next. Something bad could happen. Something really, really good can happen. But you always have to have a mellow mindset, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very true. So now we get into the quote of the episode. So usually throughout, like, all of, like, my interviewees, you know, I'll pick, like, a quote from, like, a like, you know, famous coach or, like, famous player. Mm-hmm. But since you're actually a coach, give, like, a quote that I guess you kind of tell your athletes or tell your players or to kind of motivate them.
A lot of the things I tell them is, like, the little things. Take care of the little things. Because, okay, you know, a lot of people outside of, like, the coaching aspect, and, like, some of the players get it, but some of them don't. And it's just the little things. Hey, this kid didn't touch the line in the sprint if you can't trust him to touch the line during sprints, how are you going to trust him to make his block? Or how is the quarterback going to trust the receiver to make that catch? How's the receiver going to trust the quarterback to make the throw? Just things like that. That's all I preach a lot, is just the little things. touching the line, doing the right thing, saying the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, one of the best quotes I think I've heard and I use a lot is the standard is the standard. We yeah. use that. That was a quote of the year when we went undefeated my junior year. The standard is a standard. There's a standard set for me for football. That's what it is. You got to reach it.
Yeah.
Anything below it, it's not good enough. You go standard is whatever win total, probably. You go win total under that, not good.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's so true. Just talking about, like, the like little things. I mean, like, the little things are truly small wins. So, you know, let's say, you know, you're doing like this drill. You want to execute it perfectly. You know, even though let's say you may, you know, in basketball, you dribble the ball, if the ball goes out of bounds. Right. For example, the line thing. If you miss the line on a suicide, you know, you just got to pay attention to the detail because those small things could be costly in a big game.
Right, and they translate.
Yeah.
You practice bad habits, you're going to perform bad habits in the game. You practice good habits, you're going to perform good habits in the game.
It's true.
It's just simple.
Hey, I love that quote. Standard is a standard, so live up to it.
Right.
Well, that'll do it for this episode. Mango, Antonio, great to have you on the podcast today.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, be sure to look out for Mayfield's football schedule. You know, I'm sure for those that are watching, you know, if you're interested, you know, you can go see his schedule, see how his team's doing, if it's out there online. And but yeah, we'll see you in the next episode. Be sure to like, comment, follow, share with friends and family. And yeah, sorry I took a little break last week, had a little bye week, had to get some stuff done for midterm week in school. So now we're back posting every week. Yeah, so be sure to look out, and we'll see you in the next one. See you later.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.